What we want to reveal with you the acting force of the world, of the entire reality, it's revealed as a single force. It has many manners. Why did the Creator, which is the force of bestowal, love, that every good thing we can imagine that actually comes from Him, then why are we influenced in an opposite manner with great confusions, and He forms these completely unclear relationships between us? He puts us in this terrible life, and He just puts each person in a state that it's difficult for him to understand what's happening here. Because as creatures who can discover His uniqueness only the opposite way. Because the creature is one that is outside of the Creator. Outside means opposite, according to quality. Because in spirituality, there is no distance as there is in corporeality, but distance is considered difference of form. So in order for there to be a creature, he must come out from the Creator, just like a baby that is born from his mother, and according to disparity of form, he becomes distant completely. Completely opposite, and only if he will be completely opposite, and then he will start to come closer again. Only then he will slowly be able to learn who the Creator is by constantly comparing the qualities of the Creator to his own qualities. And this distance helps him to gradually learn it. And that is the entire gap that we call 125 degrees. That to the extent we come closer, we find a greater gap between us. Our sensitivity to the difference between us rises, and we feel ourselves even more opposite, even worse, even more uncorrected. And it continues and continues until we connect with Him. And then we feel that according to our nature, we are completely opposite. And it's true. But according to what we have attained, we have attained this very same form, the same quality as the Creator's, love and bestowal, just like Him. So it turns out that what we need to acquire is one force, and that it's good and benevolent. If that is so, it compels us to he who wants to find truth. In everything in life, to imagine that we are in His presence, meaning everything around us and within us, it is all Him, a single force, and whatever seems to us that is something other than Him, That is a replica of our uncorrected states. These qualities, these states that we have not yet reached unity in. We do not yet ascribe everything to the Creator. And that is our first exercise in life. That all in all I need to do is to lock myself on this fact that there is none else besides Him. And what's happened to me, what will happen to me, everything should be ascribed to Him. Because if there is none else besides Him, there is no one else acting. And if I see all these different unpleasant situations, states that are opposite of goodness, which are confusing situations, unjust, I nevertheless must say that it is Him, always Him, influencing me, bestowing upon me, but my very same corrupted qualities, they invert the good and benevolence that comes to me, and then I feel them opposite of this 100% love and bestowal from Him. So this one condition to reveal the Creator is to constantly depict the fact that it is only Him fulfilling everything, fulfilling it all with the light of Ein Sof. And if I don't feel it, it is because I am now, for example, in all of my 613 desires, uncorrected in comparison to the Creator. If I would be corrected even with one desire, I would discover Him with that very same desire, but I would discover Him 1 divided by 613. But I would discover Him as good. I would discover Him. And that's according to the law of equivalence of form. From here, we have additional conditions, that is, to reveal the Creator. So, none else besides Him. He fulfills all of reality in good and benevolence. And if I feel something which is not good and benevolent, complete goodness and benevolence, it's a sign that what I feel in my corrupted vessels. And this complete corruption, where I feel the lack of there is none else besides Him, the lack of He is good and benevolent, that is all called this world. This world. And if I begin to correct the 613 desires of mine, which I'm surrounded by, let's say by 20%, with the first 20% of the correction, which are the easiest 20%, meaning it is the easiest corrections, and by that I begin to slightly feel the Creator, as we said in the last lesson, I begin to feel Him as existing, and fulfilling the world, fulfilling my sensation, internal and external, with something constant. That's why it's called the light of nefesh, nefisha, meaning it has no changes. I cannot yet feel them. It's like someone who's born, then it feels that while it's by his mother that he's being taken care of, love and care is projected to him, but he does not yet discern all these changes from his mother. That is called the world of Asiya, the first revelation of the Creator. That is how we discover Him as fulfilling everything constantly, in a constant state. And then, in the world of Yetzirah, we begin to see changes. Therefore, the Creator's revelation of good and benevolence, we begin to feel that also in goodness and also in, well, not such a great state of goodness, we still discover love. We become more corrected that even where we don't feel so great with respect to our desire, we discover that it's good, that it's for our own good. Therefore, this light is called the light of Ruach. Ruach in Hebrew means wind, that it moves around from one place to the other, that we have this special communication with the Creator. But I still justify Him in every change which I attain. And like that, it continues more and more, until these difficult states and terrible and dangerous states are revealed, and according to my corrections, I'll be able to feel in these states love. Endless love. How do I advance to these revelations? How am I capable of holding myself constantly trying in this feeling that He fulfills the world and that there is nothing besides Him? That what I hear from human beings, what happens to me in life, from every place and everything, it is all Him working on me through all different means. I can reach that only by the group. When I learn together with them these things, that I must see the group and the friends as representatives of the Creator, that it's all an exercise with respect to me. There are no friends, there is no group, it's the Creator playing with me. And I, in return, also need to play that same game, to raise the greatness of the friends just like the greatness of the Creator, to be connected to them just like I would connect to Him, because they don't exist, only He exists. And I can't do all these exercises with strangers from the street, but only with the friends. I can demand of them to help me, to support me, only on the condition that I think that I see them and the Creator as the same, that He does it through them, because they are like puppets. Not from the aspect that they don't have any free choice. They, for themselves, of course, they do. But with respect to me, they don't. With respect to me, it is only Him acting through the still, vegetative, animate human beings and the friends. And He has given me these friends in order to determine these special states of relation mutually, to reach a state that we are one. Just like I want to connect with the Creator, I want to discover Him. Openly, I want to be open with Him. Similarly, I can behave with the friends. And then I discover that what is facing me is the world which is built for me, which exists for me. And if I correct myself in uniting and treating the world as the Creator, by that I reach the world of Ein Sof, and nothing needs to be changed. Nothing should change other than my attitude. I don't need to correct the world. The fact that I do correct it, I seemingly am correcting myself, because the world is a replica of my corrupted qualities. Because other than me and the Creator, there is nothing. And this entire world I see around me is a replica of my own qualities. Therefore, olam, which means world, comes from the Hebrew word ne'elam, concealed. It's concealed to the extent I rise on the degrees, I correct myself on the ladder of 125 degrees. Therefore, we first need to respect the group. We truly need to value them. That is the means that I was given in this world, that I can treat Him and be in mutuality with this way, with the Creator. And in this world, which I perceive through the senses of smell, touch, sight, taste, hearing, with my five senses, all of that is perceived in my ego. But the group, the friends, they have an independent quality, not a replica of my ego. The Creator arranges them as being a messenger on His behalf. And then, if I treat them that way, not to the whole world, but with respect to the friends, then I reach unity, connection. So specifically through the group, in connection with them, I find contact with the Creator. Do I choose the environment, the group? No, I'm brought to it. I don't know where I've landed, where I am. I didn't think about it before. I'm not searching for such people. All that is arranged in a way that I don't understand. Why them? But I need to accept it as a given. And then we need to connect. Connection with the world is very difficult. Connection with the friends is relatively easy. Because if the Creator brings these friends to me, then together with them, I can demand His force to be revealed among us. Because them and me can be as one, as I am with respect to this upper force, as I want to be with respect to the Creator. And therefore, there is work here. How can we, above all the differences between us, above jealousy, hatred, lust, power, jealousy, power, lust, honor, that's enough. How do I, above this, connect to them? When does the society, does the group become a real group? When I begin to see in them the source of my bestowal. We talk about it that the correction has to be from receiving to bestowing, to come out of my ego, to be above it. In my ego, I can only perceive this world. What I absorb through my five senses, in me, all in all, this highly limited packet of information is this world only. This world that I feel. The moment I come out of this egoistic quality in love and bestowal, the Creator doesn't need our love and bestowal. But the fact that we change the direction of our exertion instead of pulling, extracting, by that we come out of this limited desire of ours, at least to the extent I'm able to perceive in my ego, no more than this temporary world, to the world of Ensof, that's not limited, not in time, nor in place. To invert the quality of reception to the quality of bestowal, that is the only thing that exists in the world. And by that, we reach the quality of the Creator, coming out of the limits of this world, and all that is possible to attain only in the group. In other words, I need the group in order to learn on them, through them, how to bestow. And as it's called, from love of friends to love of the Creator, by that to reach a state that I use this other force in nature. In all of nature there are two forces, the force of reception, the force of bestowal, plus, minus, light, dark, south, north. Two forces always. And we, human beings, work only according to this one force, only in absorption, only for myself. The other force does not exist. That is why, when we acquire this second force, we reach life on a higher spiritual level, that we have also the force of reception and the force of bestowal. We don't ruin this force of reception within us. On the contrary, it grows more and more, and we add to it the force of bestowal more and more accordingly, and then we begin to be in balance, also in reception and also in bestowal. One who learns the wisdom of Kabbalah knows that our force of reception is called the guf of the partsuf, and the force of bestowal of ours is called a masach, a screen, and or chozer, returning light. And that is how, from the will to receive, with the force of bestowal acquired upon it, it is turned into a system called a soul that one can receive and also give, work on both directions. And then the entrance of the lights, the exit of the lights, the entrance of the lights, the exit of the lights. Just like in our body, there's entrance and exit, like every cell, like every system. That gives the force of spiritual livelihood. And all of that also has to be in the group. Also the force of reception and the force of bestowal among the friends. Therefore, each one must make sure that what he receives from the friends and what he gives to the friends must be balanced, and between them, from them to the Creator, that among them they want to find this upper force. That is how they advance. Meaning, a group lives in a model just like we depict the upper world. And there we are completely in the group. We must constantly depict for ourselves these qualities among us. And nothing corporeal shouldn't interfere there. Therefore, at least here in these days, we need to constantly think of how we would build these states among us, these relationships, these different situations, that let's depict them like in the spiritual world. And from this mutual effort, like children that are playing, that are making efforts in order to resemble something greater, we invite this force from below, from within us, this force that begins to awaken and raise itself. That is actually our exercise. Questions? Well, where are the people with microphones? Come on, pass them the mic. What's going on? Explain to him that he needs to get up and run around with a mic, or that people will go to him. Just explain what needs to be done. People who want to ask questions have to move over to one here with a mic or another here with a mic. Stand by them in line. We have 20 minutes for questions and answers. Please. Just make it short. One sentence, please. I would like the Rav to explain this middle line, the middle line, and how it's expressed in action. Again, the middle line and how it is actually expressed.
If I have the right line and left line, the right line is my ego. Yes, my ego. Actually, the left line. And the left line is love. Sorry, the left line is my ego. Thank you for correcting me. And the right line is love. Very good, very well. I said so deliberately to check up on you if you're listening. Okay. So I am the left line, the ego. I receive in this world the smallest world. Well, this is our corporeal ego. And in such a level where I live in this corporeal ego, there aren't so many problems with him. I don't have to correct it. This is corporality. When I enter the group, well, my relationships with my friends in order to attain spirituality, from here starts the infliction between us, which I have to correct. Until I reach the end of correction. Where I correct myself in 100%. To correct myself is to correct my relationships with the group and the friends, that no matter what happens, I love them 100% with an utter love. Meaning, the desire which we have to correct starts from the moment I enter the group. And if I'm working inside a group the right way, then I acquire over my ego, which I have received with respect to my friends. Let's say I enter a group. Well, you know, when we enter the group, everyone are nice, good, like a new friend who enters the society. He wants to appear good, that everyone will think goodly of him. And after a while, while he is already a part of the group and is a friend with everyone, then he begins to, well, you know what I mean. Isn't it so? Isn't it so? See. Okay, and then he needs to work on that ego. Meaning to shift to the right line. And to demand a correction so that he will have love. He receives this force of love, and then he goes back with this force of love in return. And builds here a point where also his ego on the one hand and also love, they work together. And this is the point of his correction. And then in that point he already attains a connection with the Creator through the group. And what he had attained, his egoistic desire plated with love, that is called neshama, a soul. And in that egoistic desire, with the plate of love, the Creator is revealed. And then a person feels in that spiritual life. He had attained that. And immediately, he begins to have a greater ego. And if that ego becomes even greater, then he immediately begins to cry for help. He turns to the group and through the group to the Creator, the prayer of the many. And he attains the force of love. Even greater force of love. And he brings back this force to the middle. After he attained the force of love, what should he do with that? Now he has to work with his will to receive. And then he attains here a connection between the ego and love, amor, even greater. So again, the ego is plated with love. Although I'm egoist, I'm an egoist, my entire ego turns into love through the friends and from there to the Creator, and then I attain there the revelation of the Creator and a greater revelation of the spiritual world. So in that case, we've been through together through the first degree and the second degree, and this is how we enter the third degree, until we go through 125 degrees. This is our path. And here, this is what is called the middle line, which is between the hatred and love. It is comprised from both of them. Meaning, I operate in two forces, the minus force and the plus force. And I manage myself and I lead myself forward through both of them. On two legs, or like a horse who is following his rider. This is how I am advancing. Please go ahead.
My name is Cielo from Argentina. I wanted to ask you a question. What happens if when in this life, meaning in my five senses, I really love this life of the five senses, and it's bad.
No, it's not bad. So what? If you feel good in this life of your five senses, then keep on living this life so that you'll have good, long life. So what is the question then? I don't understand your question.
She's asking, is it bad to have a good life in the five senses?
No, it's not bad. The person should enjoy this life. God forbid. Don't deprive yourself of anything. No. We have to correct our bad attitude towards our friends in the group, period. No one told that we have to live life of torments. No, to the contrary. The purpose of the creation is to benefit His creatures. The purpose of creation is to enjoy life the best possible way, an internal way.
At Miruta.
You're happy.
Tetzalem ota shekula miru ad kama shi.
We want everyone to see how happy she is now. Keep on enjoying your life.
Bakasha.
Next question, please. What is he saying? I can't hear him.
He has a simple question, like a 5-year-old, which is him. He's asking, why did God make it so difficult? This design, whatever you did, you illustrated, it's all so complicated. Why wasn't it simpler?
I don't understand what can be easier than plus and minus. What's so complicated about it? There's nothing complicated here. There's one force, which is all plus. There's another force, which is me, which is all minus. So I don't understand him. I don't understand the Creator. I'm opposite from him. I don't get him. What does he want from me? He bestows upon me all the best. And because I'm opposite from him, I feel bad. So what is the solution? Replace your minus with plus. And then you'll feel that what comes your way is only pluses. And this is how you feel. And this way you feel that minuses come your way, like a little child who thinks opposite from his parents. So what they want for him, which is for his own good, he thinks that it's bad for him, that he has bad parents. Do you have kids? You don't. That explains it. Well, now you have an opportunity.
גם גברים עשו כך או רק נשים?
Did only men applaud or also women? Well, we have no choice but to replace our qualities. In our life, life itself compels to change. At first, these are my parents pressuring me so that I will be a good child, so that I will grow the right way. And then in life, I see that I have no other choice. In spiritual life, it's all the same. Now we see that we are being pressured more in order to replace our qualities into good qualities. Be a good child. Don't harm others. Bestow goodness upon them. This is what my parents told me also. Don't play with bad kids. Play with good kids. Meaning, go to the group, and through the group you will be able to be a good child and resemble the Creator. It's worthwhile for you. You have one force influencing your life. Be close to Him, and you'll profit. These are very simple things. Only we don't want to hear them. It's like stubborn kids. Are you like that? You should listen. Therefore, see what's happening. You go into a group which is comprised from people like you. And you can support each other. Only don't play being bad kids. Play being good kids. It's very important. Don't show a bad example to others because you are in charge of their destiny. And this is how everyone is with respect to everyone else. He has to act as if he's already in spirituality, meaning that he bestows, that he wants to help everyone else to show, to demonstrate good qualities, even though he doesn't have any. It influences the others, and they will influence you this way in return, and then you will have good examples from the outside. And you, very easily, real easily, will improve yourself. And according to the equivalence of form, you'll start discovering the Creator. Only a tiny plus. The first plus, this is all you have to attain, and then you already understand what is going on, and it's easier. Next question, please. You have to speak into the microphone like you're eating a baguette. Tell them that. No.
I live in Brazil.
What is your question, ma'am? Please ask immediately with no stories. Excuse me. We have agreed that we're asking short questions. I'm sorry. Next question, please.
Our world is becoming worse and worse, you know, horrifically. Nature's closing on us. We feel that we're facing huge crisis, multi-layered crisis.
That's clear. And what is the question?
ההתאמצות שלנו לחיבור יכולה לעזור בצד הזה של המשבר.
In what way can our efforts help this crisis?
You've been here from the beginning of this lecture? Yes. What does it mean that there is none else besides him? That only the Creator is operating in the world? That he alone exists? There is no other force besides him doing anything? So also the crisis comes from him. The entire evil, the individual evil and the collective evil also come from him. Is there someone else who's operating? No, there's only one force acting. So why did he create the crisis for? Otherwise, we won't wake up. He's waking up chosen people. He builds in them a yearning, a craving forward, illustrated that in humanity I have a bit of a mess here. In the total humanity, there's part of it which has the point in the heart. And this part receives a passion, a yearning for the Creator, for above. And the rest of humanity receives a push from behind. Sufferings, problems, and we receive a yearning forward. That's the difference. Why is that? In order to reveal the connection with the Creator, and in that connection which we will reveal, to influence the rest of the world. This is what we call dissemination. Now, the crisis is meant to advance the whole world towards the same goal. And things can be much worse, like with a child who's been punished until he will be a good child. Therefore, we should explain to humanity more what is happening, what is going on, so that they will understand that there is a certain direction, certain process that we're going through in a certain direction, that we should examine what is happening. Only when we address humanity, we don't speak about the Creator and about man's inner work. We say that instead of the Creator, there is the law of nature. We need to be balanced with this law of nature. And through that, we'll have a better balanced life. We're saying the same thing, only with respect to us. We're saying things in a more precise way, internal way. And we tell them the same thing, but in a more external kind of way, like when you speak to kids. But the reason for the crisis is in order to advance humanity towards correction. And of course it comes from the Creator, like everything else. Well, ma'am,
it's the first time she's asking on behalf of the other lady who asked before. It's the first time she's in your lesson. For 45 years, she 45 years she took care of her husband, and her husband passed away 10 days ago.
I'm sorry. This is not a question to the punch, and I'm surprised about you. You know us already.
Okay, so her other question is, how can she improve her life?
This is what we learn, and she will learn it in the next few days. We have gathered here in order to connect and discover the upper force. This is the topic, and this is the only thing we're talking about. I'm sorry. So ask your questions accordingly.
Hello to the Rav. Thank you. I'm very happy to be here with all of you.
Can't hear the translation.
I want to know what I'm doing here in this world. How should the Kabbalists
Where is the question? No stories. I'm asking, please translate to them. Whoever comes to ask a question, just ask a question, one sentence, two sentences, top. She wrote there a whole letter. It's impossible this way.
What is the kind of bestowal that us as Kabbalists should do?
To think about the others. As simple as that. The whole life is an opportunity to reach bestowal. And to the extent that I'm in the group and I help others and along with them to reach unity, inside this unity, inside this connection, I reveal the upper force, the upper world, my eternal life. This is what I have to do. I'm asking you. Excuse me, but think about the others. Don't tell us your personal stories. We only want to speak about what unites us all. I don't understand his question. It's the wrong question. He's saying that Kabbalists till now have attained everything in the direct light, and we attain everything in the reflected light. It's a mistake. Nothing changes. The laws are the same, the laws in the entire reality, which cascades to us from Ein Sof, and nothing changes like then, also now. Everything is attained through the Masach and the reflected light. He probably misunderstood something. Next question. Go ahead.
Is what I feel true? Because how can there be a feeling outside of me?
There can be no feeling outside of oneself. But I receive the ability to feel. Not in the force of reception where I draw everything to myself, rather in the force of bestowal. And I feel myself. When I feel everything through the force of bestowal, that is called the spiritual world. When I feel everything through the force of reception, that is called this world. That's it. I feel. It is considered outside of me because now I receive everything inside of me. And if I change my perception to feel what is outside of me, well, you have 5 senses: sight, flavor, touch, and so on. You receive all kinds of impression from them on the edge of of your nerves, in the eyes, in your tongue, in your touch. All these nerves brings information into your brain. There it is inverted into electricity and all kinds of chemical processes, electrochemical processes. And then there's a comparison between your memory and other systems. And then eventually you depict a certain form, a certain picture. And you receive it inside of you. There is no correlation between what you feel inside of you to what truly happens on the outside. On the outside, well, there are such pictures that you feel inside. No. There is no outside. They don't exist on the outside. Rather, the entire image of the world exists inside of us. How can I feel what is outside of me? I perceive in my ear this narrow frequency, but outside of the ear, we know there are millions of frequencies. How can I perceive them? So the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is why it is called the wisdom of Kabbalah, the wisdom of reception, because it helps a person to exceed his limitations and to perceive the world in an unlimited way. What truly exists outside of me. And then I perceive that outside of me there is a light. Information. Which includes everything. And when I go out there, I'm included with all that. And live in that. And this is the spiritual world. And then I feel that what I have felt before, I understand what I felt before, that it was all but an illusion, that I exist and this world exists and all of you exist. This was only due to my own personal qualities. This is the true perception of reality. Today, you can read about it not only in Kabbalah books written thousands of years ago, rather in books of modern physicists who finally begin to write this way. And it is written about it in the Zohar already 2,000 years ago. As quickly.
we've reached the maximum ego by 2012. How can we work with the ego? Sorry, our ego, as you've shown, has reached its maximum. How can we separately work on our individual personal ego and on the collective ego?
There is no individual ego. There is no individual ego. There is only a collective ego which exists between us. Illustrated that all of us are here, and our ego fills everything between us in hatred, rejection, in lusts, respect, control, meaning in the opposite qualities, which are not in me with respect to myself. Rather, the ego means me with respect to my friends. That's it. The fact that I want to eat 5 courses, to sleep 15 hours a day, to wear the best suits, to buy a yacht and a plane, it's not called ego. This is not considered ego. The ego means that I relate badly to others. I want to take advantage of them. Only that. So, calm down. But to replace this yellow, you see, they're happy that I say that. But to replace this yellow of our ego between us into love, that is called correction. So that's the only thing we have to locate and correct. And therefore, in the groups, pay attention. Our whole problem is the relations between us. When we begin to have the real ego, the fact that we can't get along inside a group, this is what we have to correct. That's the only thing we need to correct. All the rest doesn't matter. And this is where we're stuck and run away from. So we'll try to understand that we have to hold to each other with our teeth. We'll learn all about it. And now we're going out for a short break, and we'll be back for an exercise where we will learn how to unite.